90% of all the scientists who have ever lived are alive today. Has the human race suddenly become more intelligent and wise? I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast. Facts which affect you. You know, friends, there's a very popular political theory in the world today that civilization is progressing, becoming stronger and more secure all the time. The idea is that we've developed from a tiny germ of life through millions and millions of years of evolutionary progression. Although this idea of progression began as a pseudoscientific theory, it's been advocated also by political leaders in recent times. Actually, the idea is beginning to wane a little bit right now because of the vast disillusionment with world conditions. It's very apparent now that man will never be able to solve the problems of war and violence and grow into some better, stronger society. Who could believe today that things are getting better and better, friends? We see increasing troubles on every side of this old world. Nations are angry with each other. Vast continents are astir with a burgeoning nationalism that demands recognition. We can understand some of the reasons why people are looking for a golden age of peace and prosperity. Some tremendous changes have taken place in our world during the last 50 years. And we have to confess that science and technology has advanced with revolutionary strides, no doubt about it. Our whole way of life has been completely turned around in fairly recent times. When we're seated behind the wheel of a powerful automobile, we can scarcely believe that 100 years ago, there was not a single highway in the world for an automobile to travel on. When we enter our large modern department stores with all their latest appointments, we find it impossible to imagine that little country general store of a generation ago. In some of the large airports of America, sleek airliners are taking to the air, bearing hundreds of passengers, skimming along almost at the speed of sound. A person can stand in New York City and gaze up at those towering skyscrapers of concrete and steel. They certainly do give an impression, a solid appearance of strength and permanence, don't they? They seem to imply that we're living in an age of prosperity and security. Those buildings have been declared fireproof and stormproof. Surely they could never come tumbling down. And yet, friends, they felt the same way in London, Berlin, and Shanghai before the toll of warfare had destroyed most of their modern structures. Sitting in a soft armchair, watching the figures move and flash on a television set, conveys a sense of permanence and progression also. But in spite of all these things, the end is fast moving in upon us. Inventions will not stop it. Scientific know-how will have no effect at all on that approaching end. These things only make more certain the prophecy of God's Word, that the last days are already here. In Daniel 12:4 we read, "In the time of the end many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Now, if we could be taken back 100 years or more, we would realize just how much truth this verse actually contains. In 1844, Henry Ellsworth resigned as the head of the United States Patent Office because he believed the end of science and invention had come. He didn't want to be left without a job when the crash occurred. Well, since that time, we've had almost 3 million new inventions registered in the U.S. Patent Office. It's interesting to notice, friends, that George Washington traveled in almost the identical manner that Nebuchadnezzar did 3,000 years before him. The mode of illumination was the same in the time of Cicero and the ancient Roman Empire as it was in the time of Abraham Lincoln. Tallow candles were used with old oil wicks that spit and sputtered. For nearly 6,000 years, the affairs of this world were carried on in almost the same way and at the same pace and speed. Transportation and communication remained on an even keel of facility and speed. Less than 100 years ago, the spinning wheel, the wooden washtub and washboard characterized the rural homes of America. Clothing was prepared from flax that had been grown, from which thread had been made at home, and from which cloth and garments were later prepared. But friends, listen, since 1800, the world has suddenly waked up as though out of a deep, mysterious sleep. And why did it happen? Not because men suddenly became more brilliant. Sir Isaac Newton was probably one of the greatest scientists this nation's ever produced. Still, the age of invention was not born until long after Newton's death. Suddenly, life was tremendously revolutionized. The explanation seems to hinge completely on the word of the Lord to Daniel when he said, "In the time of the end, knowledge shall be increased." It was a miracle, nothing less. People suddenly began to go to school. More books, magazines, and newspapers were published and read. Microscopes were invented. Radium came into prominence. Nuclear science sprang into fantastic motion. Gadgets of all types began to appear on the markets. Moving pictures, radio, television made a tremendous impact on the life of the world. At the same time, another remarkable thing occurred. People began to travel for no apparent reason. Thousands started to cross the continent by rail, by train, by ship, by plane, for business or pleasure or whatever. There seemed to be no end to the obsession of people to travel. And I suppose if through the centuries the angels have been watching for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, they surely would have been able to say, "Look, there it is, there's the very thing God spoke of." Now some can say that it was the result of an evolutionary process. But friends, it was not slow or gradual at all. It came about suddenly within the span of a few years. Do we need more proof that we're now living in the time of the end? In Daniel 12:1, we read these words, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Now notice something interesting here, friends. This is the same time spoken of by Daniel in the previous scripture, the time of the end. There will be great trouble in the world when the people of God are delivered, and when Jesus comes, when the end of this world takes place. At the same time of great spiritual darkness, there will also be great enlightenment as far as science is concerned. It'll be an age of contrast, great joy and great misery, great inventions and yet destruction, great knowledge and yet great perplexity, great peace plans, yet mighty preparations also for war at the same time. No, friends, we must not be misled by the impression of strength and permanency. Time's last hour will be marked by a false security that will deceive millions of people. Things may look enduring, but those same strong-looking institutions will come crumbling down to dust and ashes. All the great empires of history felt secure with their fortified walls and their well-armed soldiers. But one after another, they disappeared from the stage of history. Incredible as it may seem, the last hour of history is marked with reckless, riotous living on the part of human beings. I just wonder what the angels must think as they look down on the final scenes of this earth's history. Places of amusement are packed, the theaters are overflowing, racetracks crowded with gamblers. Lawlessness exists on every side, thousands upon thousands engrossed with the silly soap operas and the sexy novels, seeking an artificial outlet from the stern realities of life. Oh, I tell you, friends, something is desperately needed by the world at this time. And that need, I believe, is described in Romans 13:11-14. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Now notice, friends, that there's no suggestion here that nations should unite and get together, or that workers should be organized, or that some new political organization should be set up. The secret is to put on the character of Christ, to have the mind of Jesus. Real heart religion is the answer to the world's need right now. The tragedy is that so few seem to comprehend this. According to the proclamations of some scientists and educators, the answer is just ahead for us, every one of us. The fact hasn't taken hold yet that the statesmen and scientists don't have the answers to the world's problems. That idea that things are going to get better and we'll come to some grand utopia is just not true, friends. Multitudes have swung over their allegiance from God's Word to the more materialistic answers that the secularists are giving. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Why, he says there that the very imaginations of their heart were evil continually. At least that's what the Old Testament writer tells us. And we're facing one of the greatest crises now that's ever been known. The antediluvian world before Noah did not face a more serious challenge than the world does today. It's not so much a crisis concerning the Adam as it is the problem of man. There's a worse danger than being blown to bits by atomic or hydrogen bombs, friends, and that's the danger of forgetting God. The danger that our religion might become a form. The danger of choosing the world rather than Christ. In 2 Peter 3:11 and 12, we're asked this significant question. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? Oh, friends, that tells us again that we must put on the character of Christ. We must be willing to proclaim the end of this age and the bringing in of Christ's everlasting kingdom. A flood is coming. There's no doubt about it. A flood of fire and destruction for this world. And we must get ready for it, friends. We must be ready every moment. Do you remember the counsel God gave to Nebuchadnezzar back in the book of Daniel, chapter 4 and verse 27? Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Now that was the final appeal of God to a man who was about to fall into the awful punishment of being destroyed. In Babylon's palace banquet room, that king was conducting a riotous feast, you remember? And at the height of revelry, a bloodless hand came forth and began to write on the wall, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." God warned the nations of the ancient worlds, and He's warning us also, and is writing, I believe, on the wall of our generation, and telling us to get ready, get ready, get ready, for the end is upon us. We dare not pass it by lightly, friends. In one night, the glory of Babylon disappeared. Sudden destruction fell upon that nation which had ruled over the entire world. In the days of Noah, floodwaters came very suddenly and very unexpectedly to destroy everybody in the whole world. Men were going about their common ordinary business of life when they were quickly and suddenly overwhelmed by the judgments of God. Sodom and Gomorrah also were conducting business as usual. Pleasure was being pursued as it had in every day of the past. But suddenly the curtain was rung down and the cities disappeared into complete destruction and oblivion. Listen, the handwriting has been seen by millions. The end of all things is upon us. Are we going to heed the warnings of God's Word and put on Christ's character as we're admonished to do? Will we come back to God? Will we get back to His Word and to His law again? The greatest question of all that faces us right now, are we ready for the end to come? Do you tremble as you think of it, friends? Or does your heart leap with joy? There will only be two classes in that day. Actually, every individual is either saved or lost right now. We're in the ark of safety and under the shelter and protection of God, or else we're outside and unprepared for it. May God help us to be ready for that great day when it very soon will burst upon the earth. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.